This morning I'd like to pick up in the 24th chapter of Luke. This was on the first day of the morning, the resurrection morning. I'd like to notice some of this story, maybe read part of it, maybe relate part of it. I'd like you to follow along with me. Again, that's the 24th chapter of Luke. I've written on the board, Experience Easter. Said in the first verse, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher. And this was the Marys, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in, and they found not the body of Jesus. It came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. He's not in this tomb. This is where the dead hang out. This isn't where Jesus is, but he's risen. Do you remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, that these things were going to happen? And it said that they remembered his words. And Scripture tells us that the Marys then no doubt with many things on their hearts and their minds, overflowing beyond what they could probably describe, went back to where the disciples were. And they told the disciples all these things. Hey, we were just at the tomb and this tomb was open. And we went inside and the stone was rolled away. And there were these men in there that looked like angels. They had these shining garments on. And they told us that Jesus wasn't there, but that he was risen. In fact, they said, don't you remember that he told you that this is what was going to happen? And we remember. Don't you all remember when he said that to us? And so they're telling the disciples all these things. And well, the disciples, they were having a hard time believing it. And so some of them decided, well, we're going to go check this out for ourselves. So they get up and they head off toward the tomb to find this out for themselves. And one place, not in Luke, but another place says that John was with Peter at the time. And kind of interesting, the book of John says that the one that was with Peter, he didn't call himself out by name, but he said the one that was with Peter got to the tomb first. But then John stopped when he got to the open door. But Peter, he came, blew right past him, went right down into the tomb to see what was going on. And he went down in there and he found these things just like the Marys told him, only, again, Jesus wasn't there. And so they departed and they were wondering about all of these things. And the 13th verse said that two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus. And so that same day after that happened, two of them, they must have made the decision, look, we're headed off to Emmaus. And so they got on this road, and it said it was about 70 furlongs. And so they were walking along, and they were talking about all of these things that had happened and that they had seen. And no doubt they were talking about some of the distress that they themselves felt and the uncertainty and then the wonder of have you ever seen a tombstone just go away? And those Roman soldiers were there to begin with, but they weren't there. And then we went in there, and then these stories about these angels. But they weren't just jubilant. They were in a very uncertain place, and we find soon that they were sad. Things didn't turn out like they thought they were going to turn out. They thought that with the Lord coming, that all was going to be roses from then on, and that he was going to be king, and that they probably thought they were going to have a special place in that literal kingdom. And none of that happened, and they were sad, and they were talking about it, and they had their own difficulties in life, I'm sure, just like we do. And then there was that on top of it, and if you remember, they all forsook Jesus. And they turned away from Him. And they weren't faithful to Him. And they weren't there for Jesus. And all of these things, if it were me, no doubt were weighing in on them as they walked down this road and not knowing where Jesus' body even was. And while they walked, who appeared but Jesus? Now, He didn't tell them that He was that's who He was. He just showed up. And He started walking with them, and He said, "Hey," He said, what are y'all talking about? What's going on here? What manner of communications do you have? And also, why are you so sad? What is it that's causing you to be downhearted?" And so one of them told him, he said, "Are you a stranger around here? Where have you been all this time? Do you not know what's come to pass over these last few days?" You know what Jesus said? He said, "What things? What are you talking about? What things came to pass?" And so they said, "Well, concerning Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus is walking along with them. "Indeed. Tell me more. What happened?" Well, we thought He was going to be king, and we thought that He was going to rule, and we thought He was going to be the Savior. But then He was given over, and the chief priests and our rulers, they delivered Him to be crucified to death. They condemned Him to death, and they didn't just kill Him; they crucified Him. But we trusted, and all this time they're talking to the Lord. And Jesus is listening to all of this. "Really? What else? What happened next?" Well, we thought that it was going to be different than that. And we thought that He was going to be the one that was going to redeem Israel. And they were probably just full of, just couldn't hardly get it out. And besides all of that, this is the third day. Well, what's so significant about the third day? So what's the third day? What's the difference? Second or fourth? What about the third day? Well, the thing is, the third day He said these things that almost sounded like maybe He was going to rise. And we have people that went, and He wasn't even in the tomb when they went and looked. And we just don't understand any of this, and it's beyond us. And we're overwhelmed, and we're a little sad, and we're not sure what to do. And we're headed down this road to Emmaus. And oh, by the way, we went to the tomb too, but we didn't see Him. We tried to go see Him, but He wasn't there for us. He wasn't there for us. We went, we tried to do, we wanted to be there, but we didn't see Him. And all this time, He's right beside them. All this time, He's right beside them. Listening to everything that they're saying. "He wasn't with you? You didn't see Him?" "No, haven't seen Him since. Just feels like we're all by ourselves out here. And this is all what happened." Then the Master started to speak. And He said, "Oh, fools and slow of heart." I believe He said it with love and care and compassion. "Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself. And oh, I wish I could have been there that day to hear that message. To be able to hear Jesus Himself in such a personal way go back and then explain to them all about how all of this fit together. They still didn't know it was Him. They still had no idea this is Jesus walking beside them. And it said they drew near unto the village whither they went. And Jesus made as though He was going to keep going.
Or they got to their house and they says, well, this is where we're hanging off here. This is our house. And Jesus said, I don't know what he said. This is me talking. All right, well, wonderful talking with you men. And I trust all goes well with you. Think about what I said to you. That doesn't say that in the scriptures. That's me saying that. It said he made as if he was going to go on. But then it said that they constrained him. Well, there was something different. Well, they couldn't quite put their finger on it. They couldn't quite define what it was. They were feeling this something different, stirring in their heart. They said, don't go on. Come in to our house and eat with us. Abide with us. It's evening and the day's far spent. And so it said he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass as he sat at meat with them. So he sat down. And it said that he took bread. He took their bread. He took the bread that they had to offer. And he blessed it. And he broke it. And he gave it to them. And then he opened their eyes. And their eyes were opened. It's the Lord. And he vanished. That's what it says. Vanished out of their sight. And they said, did not our hearts burn within us? Did you feel what I felt when we were walking, when he was talking to us, by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures? What a beautiful story. Oh, there's so many truths in this story. And we only have just not very long this morning. I want to draw our attention for a few minutes to a wonderful truth of this outstanding account. We find some men, I think, that are so representative of who we are in so many ways. Who I am, who you are, in many ways where we find ourselves in life. Overwhelmed. Absence of understanding that we would like to have. Disappointed. Disappointed in ourselves. Disappointed in what we have found in life. Maybe feeling lost. And probably feeling like I don't have anything that warrants God's specific care for me personally. Maybe even some responsibility. Maybe you even feel some responsibility for the chasm that exists and the feeling of aloneness and separation that you feel with God, feeling like I had something to do with this. They said, well, the chief priests and our rulers is the one that delivered. Our rulers, they identified themselves with the very ones that caused a problem for the Lord. And sometimes we live life and it's like my life, the things that I did, my things, our decisions that we made, look where we are now. And I just feel like sometimes we can identify with this and it just feels like we're alone and God's nowhere. And yet, look what happened. Jesus met them right where they were. Jesus met them right where they were in life. Jesus appeared and walked right on the road that they were walking. Jesus went and touched their hearts and their minds right on those areas that they were struggling with personally. And he went into their house. And he ate of the bread that they had to give. Just like it was. And he did it with love and care and so much compassion.
I'd like to pause here for a moment and speak as plainly as I know how to speak. Hope it makes sense. Maybe touch on where we live sometimes, where we feel like we are. Do you ever feel removed from the largeness and the magnitude of this whole story of you read about the creation? Seemed like such a long time ago. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and you read about the story of Egypt, and you read about Moses and the children of Israel and the parting of the Red Sea, and you read about when the law was given up there on that mountain to Moses, and all the things that happened in the wilderness, and you read about the Jordan River, and they had to step in this time first, and then the waters parted, and you read about the walls of Jericho coming down in such a dramatic way, and the mountain that Caleb took by the power of God, and you read about all of these things, and then you read about the prophets that are in the scriptures, and then you read about this man named Jesus that came and he brought grace and truth, and you read about the miracles that he performed, and the people that he touched, and the blind eyes that he touched, and the lame that he raised up, and the spirits that he cast out, and all the love that he showed. And then you read about the crucifixion, and you read about those Roman soldiers that put him on that cross. Those Roman soldiers almost seemed bigger than life in some ways. You're just not sure exactly how all that fit in. And then you read about the resurrection, like we're reading about this morning. And then you go on and you read a little bit about the Holy Spirit's powerful presence that came down on that day of Pentecost. Read about all these things. And do you know, sometimes maybe in our humanity, and maybe the enemy of our soul too, can cause these things to seem almost outside of where I live personally. Is this just me, or have you felt that? Many others in the past have been affected in a positive way. We've read about it. In fact, maybe we know some people that seem like the Lord has especially blessed them in their lives. But what about me personally? What about where I live? What about the road that I'm walking down? Is this story still alive and well for me? Does Jesus know, and does he care, and does he is he moved with me like he was way back then, or is this just a good Easter story? Perhaps it doesn't seem directly personal, even though it's always presented on Easter as something very personal. Isn't it? It's presented, it's personal. But sometimes we can sit back there where we live in our lives and sometimes can wonder, is it personal? Does it touch me too? Or am I too far removed from it? Give me your attention just for a little bit again as we consider some of the realities of God. Do you remember a couple weeks ago, I don't know, two, three weeks ago, when we drew some on the board about the time and space model? Remember that? I guess I could do it again. When God created mankind, He created us and He put us in a space. He allowed us to have some dimensions to move in. We can go up and we can go down and we can go to each side. And He also gave us this third dimension. You can look at this in a way where this axis is going into the board. So not only can we move up and down and side to side, but we can move in and out. And they have coordinates for this in math, and this is the space that we live in, three dimensions. And then there's a fourth dimension that's called time. And this is space. And God created this. But where was God before that was created? God is out here. And He's looking. He looks. And He's in a different dimension than this. While He's within this dimension. He's here, but He's also outside of it. And we live lives 2,000 years since Jesus walked and when this story was told. And this space and time, it moves through time. It moves, but God doesn't move. He just looks and He sees. And He's not limited by time and space. And He doesn't view it like we do. Brothers and sisters, we are not way down the road somewhere over here, far removed from when Jesus came and brought the power of the resurrection and the Holy Spirit. We are not far removed from when Jesus came to show love and care to those that loved Him, to those that were lost. We are not far removed, and all we can do is read about it in some time past when the Lord worked on the lives of those that had a desire for their lives to be worked on. Because in God's eyes, He just looks and He just sees this thing out here of time and space. Something that He is not limited by. We are not forgotten by Jesus. We're not a long ways away from the power of the blood or being touched by the Holy Spirit that came down on that day of Pentecost. To the Lord, it's like it just happened. For us as humans, at a glance, if I'm standing up here, at a glance, I see you in three dimensions. In a moment in time. Try to follow me. I may not be being very clear. We take pictures and we look at a picture and it's in two dimensions, captured in a moment of time. And then we came along and we were able to people figure out how to do video. We take video and we see three dimensions and we're able to look at what happened in times past. And it takes us that same amount of time to look at that video to be able to capture everything that happened. We have to sit there and watch it as time marches that happened in the past. But with God, He, at a glance, He takes in three dimensions plus many more plus past time. At a glance. You follow me?
He doesn't have to say, "Oh, let me try to remember. Let me try to remember what happened way back then." He just looks and he sees it all. He doesn't have to wait for time to pass to see it. He just looks.
And he knows. He takes in a moment, the past, present, and future. Not my words. The words of the Bible. Before Abraham was, I am. He doesn't dwell in the past and in the future so much. He's just present. And he's present this morning with you and with me. It's like the Lord says, "Look, there's Peter, James, and John. And well, there's Brother Bobby and Sister Janet. And there's..." And insert your name. And it's just, it's happening at a glance with our Lord. We are not removed from the power of the resurrection. We are not far removed from the Jesus that walked the earth. He is alive. He is still connecting man to God by His Holy Spirit. He's not overloaded. He's not in a state of exceeded capacity where He doesn't have time and space to give to us, because He operates outside of those things. He is ever present. And so, the Scripture says in Matthew 28 and 20, "Lo, I am with you always." And so now further, why is it that we are so often apt to think that we have to be somewhere else, that we have to be something else before Jesus can walk with us? Why sometimes as human beings do we feel like it's this elusive thing that's always just outside of what we can reach, except for where we are right now? Jesus met Zacchaeus in a tree. And Zacchaeus was not a righteous man, but Zacchaeus was there for him and went to his house. Zacchaeus was right there for the lepers and met him where they were. Those lepers, they were supposed to be disconnected from men. But Jesus was there with and for the lepers, the ones that were supposed to be isolated. Jesus was there and met the adulterous woman where she was. She was supposed to be stoned. Jesus met the Roman soldier, centurion, right where he was, knowing that it was the Roman soldiers that were going to take his life. But he was there to meet them. The fishermen, he met them right where they were, on the water, not catching fish, just like sometimes we feel. "Do you have any meat?" "No, don't feel like I have any meat." He met the fishermen right where they were. Matthew didn't have friends on either side, just had his little seat of exchange that he set out. He met him right where he was. Said, "I'm here for you. Come, follow me." And he meets us where we are too. He's present at your house today. And he is hoping that we will constrain him to come into our lives. And he's hoping that we will offer up whatever bread, as imperfect as it may be, that will say, "Lord, this is what I have. This is who I am. This is the road I'm walking on. Lord, I'm not proud of all of it. Lord, I don't understand a lot of things. Lord, it seems to me like my opportunity for a resurrection of life has passed. You know why it seems like that to us? Because we are bound by space and time. And so when the time passes, when the space doesn't seem to be there, it is why God, with God, all things are possible. Because He's not limited by what we are limited by. And so He says, come. Offer to Me what you have. And let Me bless it. Said He broke the bread. Sometimes there are places in our lives that He has to break. He has to rearrange. And that's not always, pleasant to the flesh. But what follows is a resurrection of life when we give ourselves into the hands of the Lord. Say, Lord, this is who I am. Can You do something with this? He says, absolutely, that's why I came. Put it into My hands. This morning, I think that I believe that there still remains areas, perhaps in all of our lives today. Maybe saved, you may have the Holy Spirit living in your life. But I believe that as we journey life and we're in this world, we're in this time-space dimension, that there are these places that we encounter where we hurt. Maybe we feel like we've died in areas of our lives. We feel without. We feel guilty. We feel like we're responsible. We feel like we're in a tomb with a stone that's rolled across the front that no man can open. And I'm not saying that we're not saved and we don't have the Lord, but I believe there's places that we run into in life where we can feel like this. But I would like us all to notice in this passage that we read that the Lord used time on that road to teach those two men some truths that was going to be helpful for them down the road. It was going to be helpful for them in the present before He revealed who He was. And so in the midst of them feeling alone and lost and had not seen Jesus, and we can't find Him and we don't know where He is, and we looked for Him and we did the best we could to go where He supposedly was, and we did that, but He wasn't there, and now we're alone and we don't understand and we're sad, and I guess we'll just walk this road to Emmaus and we don't. And the Lord came along and He used that time to deliver unto them exactly what they needed. And then when the time was right, that's when He opened up their eyes. Oh, sometimes that road to Emmaus is longer than what we would like. Sometimes we wish we could feel the presence of the Lord and know that that He's with us and feel it in the flesh sooner than sometimes we do. But it doesn't mean that He's not there. Folks, disappointment and uncertainty does not mean that the Lord is absent. He was there all along. And He's asking us, will you believe in Me? Will you trust Me? Will you put your life in My hands and be as clay and let Me do for you what I know needs to be done better than you know? Will we do that? Are we willing to constrain Jesus to come by our way, whatever that means? Good news of the gospel is that it is a gospel hope that reaches every single one of us. It's not just a theory. It's not an idea. It's not just something. It's not just a crutch. The Lord did not bring a crutch. He brought healing for us if we'll trust Him. Regardless of when we look at the time and space constraints in our lives, and it's so easy for us to say, that's impossible to happen in my life, because after all, that window of opportunity is past. Well, that's not possible because that is not the space that I'm in. So I can't possibly have victory in this. Well, my circumstance is this, so it sounds like a good story, but don't forget that God is not limited by the things we are limited by. That's the reason why, again, He came and brings us life in ways that would otherwise be impossible. Now, in conclusion, notice what happens next. It says in the 33rd verse that they rose up that same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." And they were telling the disciples all these things, what had happened and how He was known of them and breaking of the bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them, and He said unto them, "Peace, peace be unto you." As they thus spake, there Jesus was again. How did that happen? How did He know this is where we were going to be? How did He just come to be here where we are at this moment? How did He get through the door? Another place said that they had the doors closed because they were fearful of the Jews. They were hiding. Probably had it locked. And yet, here's Jesus. There He is. He's not constrained by this dimension that we live in. I wonder if maybe He never went away in the first place. He just was there with them. And He had a message to give them. Peace be unto you. So this morning, let's be encouraged with the truth that this resurrected life experience, it's not something I can earn, but it is a gift, and it is still alive and present, and we are right in the middle of the power of it. And let's be also challenged and encouraged to do our part to rise up when we hear the hope of the gospel, as these men did, to rise up and go show it. That's our part, to tell the hope of the gospel. Brothers and sisters, this morning, Easter is not just a day to remember. It is life to experience. Easter is not just a day to remember. It is life to experience. By the grace of God, let's experience it. Amen.